and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
my show. Good morning and welcome into the Captain Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Hope that you have a great Tuesday. With open phone lines for you at 312-332-3776. At this time every day, we give you Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be Points Bet Sportsbook and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. If you want to play the ponies like I do, good morning, Secretary, wherever you are. Hope your hay is nice and moist. What?
Oh God, go ahead.
Hay is nice and moist.
Yeah, it's easier to chew that way, I'm sure.
This is a family show.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Go to Club Hawthorne. You can win $12,000. They're going to give away cash on New Year's Day. Snorling.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
I'm hoping everybody's hay is nice and moist this morning.
Well, it certainly is. Thanks for asking. So, absolutely. All right, my friend. What do you have for Shot or No Shot?
All right, well, we saw last night in Monday Night Football, Kyler Murray was injured. There may actually be a silver lining in that injury as it relates to the Chicago Bears. Next week, the Cardinals will play the Denver Broncos without Kyler Murray. This is significant because the Broncos are currently the only thing between the Bears and the number two pick. If the Broncos beat the Cardinals, the Bears will vault into a virtual lock for the second pick in the draft. So Shot or No Shot. Even the hapless Denver Broncos will beat the Cardinals without Kyler Murray.
This is without Russell Wilson, more than likely, correct? Is that the Denver Broncos? What do you think, Cap?
I mean, how banged up is Russell Wilson? He looked like see that mouse under his eye?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was, or maybe it was right above his eye, actually. He was messed up, plus concussion protocol. So, is he back? If it's Brett Rippon, I'm not sure whatever, two bad teams. Russell Wilson, the way he was playing the second half till he got hurt, yeah, I would say they'd beat the Cardinals without Kyler Murray.
I think that is a shot. I think that is a shot. You know, just watching that Cardinal outfit without Kyler Murray, it wasn't good with him, but without him, I was watching, is that Colt McCoy was a quarterback last night? Cap, that's a rough outfit. You talk about our offensive line, the Bears offensive line. My God. Like, Colt McCoy was holding the ball too long, and there was no chance at all for him. So I would say there's a shot to that. Absolutely. All right, Shay.
Before I get this next Shot or No Shot question, I just want to, we have a little bit of breaking news. This from Sid Salter at Mississippi State. Coach Mike Leach passed away last night from complications related to a heart condition. He was a giving and attentive husband, father, and grandfather. The statements from his family. He was able to participate in an organ donation at UMMC as a final act of charity. So we'd just like to send condolences to the Leach family.
Boy, that is just so sad. He's one of my favorite personalities in American sports. That guy was awesome.
You know, it is interesting because every year, no matter what team that he coached, Cap, he always was able to put a smile on your face or made you think, because he would just say the most outrageous things. Coaches, as you well know, super serious, right? A lot more times not super serious guys that are only focus on the football, and he always had time to go to kind of color outside the lines, either to a sideline reporter or to the press, and it's like, wait, aren't you serious about this game? Yeah, he was serious about the game, but also added a personality, Randy. So in your career, Randy, you could think about it, over the 30 years of coaches that were colorful but also were very good at what they did.
Yeah, and it's amazing, Hoodie, just in the last day or two on social media, the stories that people are telling, like the interactions they had, just local reporters with him, and just how down-to-earth he was. And, you know, every coach over the last 24 hours tweeted out prayers for Mike Leach. So, I mean, he affected the coaching community. He was with Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. He was the offensive coordinator there. He's credited with really, you know, creating that kind of offense that so many teams, the spread offense, are running right now. So it's just a terrible loss, and just the way he affected so many local writers. I was reading all these crazy stories that how he just, you know, hung out with these guys and just talked not only ball but life with them too. So very, very, very sad news.
You just love a different. He was a different personality in a super serious sport like college football. Got to worry about the portal. Got to worry about players, wins and losses. Are you going to get fired? He just had fun while he was coaching.
He did.
So he's quite a bright personality that we've lost here this morning.
Yeah, very sad. So Mike Leach gone at the age of just 61. Very sad.
In the middle of Shot or No Shot, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, yeah, back to Shot or No Shot. No easy transition out of that. Very sorry to hear that news this morning. But I want to ask a question about the Bears' left tackle. Braxton Jones has achieved what's really a rare feat, starting every game at left tackle, despite being just a fifth-round pick from an FCS school. Jones has excelled in the past month. In the past month of games, Braxton Jones has allowed only four pressures. No hits, no sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Eberflus spoke yesterday about what Braxton Jones has left to improve on.
Yeah, Braxton's been solid. As you guys know, he's done a good job, you know, for a rookie to be able to play in there. His maturity and, you know, and handle everything he's been handling. You know, I think he would say it too, is that he's just got to really firm up on the bull rushes. You know, I think that's the biggest thing he's got to do, take a good set, you know, be able to firm his inside leg there and stay firm in the pocket. So, you know, he's got to really do a good job these next 4 weeks. And again, this is a big challenge this week. You know, obviously they got a big wave, couple waves of defensive line, probably the deepest defensive line in the whole league. And it's going to be a big challenge for our offensive line for sure.
So a lot of honesty and a lot of accountability there from Coach Eberflus. Shot or no shot, Braxton Jones will develop into a mainstay at left tackle for the Bears.
That's a no shot, right, Cap?
At this point, now again, he's got to get everybody I've read that know a lot more about offensive line play than you and I will ever know, say that he has got to get light years stronger and get a wider base, more size into his body. So there's a long, long way to go there. But I think it's a good first step. A fifth-round pick who's started every game to this point. That's very encouraging.
You were saying that there's a good possibility he could be on the right side.
If they go out and get the right guy at left tackle, mm-hmm. whoever that is. We saw Teron Armstead go to Miami last offseason. You don't know which guy gets traded. Oh, I want out of here, and Chicago's got the money they could pay me. Boom. Then move him over to right, because I think you got a hole at right.
I will keep the same energy for Braxton Jones as I will for Justin Fields or for Brisker and Gordon or whatever rookie or young player that we see come through Chicago, Cap, because it is a process. I can't throw I could say, hey, Braxton Jones playing well, but is he going to be the guy? Well, that's all about development and strength. If he's going to be a mainstay on this offensive line. So, and this is where I will push back on people that will see a young player and cast aspersions on a young player in the first 6-7 games. You're like, that guy can't play. Well, I mean, you got to wait for a couple years to find out if Braxton Jones can develop. So the same way I look at our other rookies or young players, I will look at Braxton Jones the same way. The hope is that the Bears are right about Braxton Jones. So that way you don't have to worry about it here in the offseason.
It'd be amazing. If they truly believe he's the left tackle of the future, awesome. Get in the weight room. Get into the dining hall. Get as big and strong as you can. Let's go.
I'm hoping that on this roster right now, there's two or at least three guys on this offensive line. You say, well, we don't have to worry about necessarily going out, paying through the nose for or going through the draft to get someone to replace some of these guys. In the next few games and in evaluation, hopefully they can look at them and say, hey, you know what? Braxton Jones is going to be a guy. Or, you know, Sam Mustipher is going to be a guy. Or Tevin Jenkins is going to be a part of our future. Because the idea that you got to revamp this whole offensive line, now it will be 25 or 26 before you get to the playoffs if you don't get this offensive line right.
Mustipher talked yesterday about, yes, we got to keep getting better, but we have to learn how to win. I think that's what Yurko and Sylvie were arguing about last week. And both things could be true. You need better players, and you need to learn how to win. It's not mutually exclusive.
I will say that he could be a mainstay on this offensive line, Shay. If it's left tackle, it's left tackle. But it's time to look at some of these young players and say, we're going to ride with them, and those guys are going to improve.
Yeah, I think the good news here is, like, Jenkins, I think, has solidified himself as somebody who will be on this offensive line as long as he wants to play football. That's kind of been the only question. The injury stuff's been a little odd. But having Braxton Jones look like a guy who's going to be around. Only having to overhaul, you know, three-fifths of the line is a lot better than having to do the whole thing.
Shay.
The Cubs have been effectively removed from most reporting on teams likeliest to sign Carlos Correa this offseason. Steve Phillips said on MLB Network that the Giants and Twins are the favorites to land Correa in free agency. Correa and Dansby Swanson, the last two premier shortstops available, and the Cubs are looking ever more likely to be stuck holding the bag. Shot or no shot, the Cubs need to sign one of these two shortstops.
That's a shot. Mm-hmm. You cannot send letters to your fan base and say, we're going to be active in free agency. You can't tell the media, yeah, Jed's got money left from last year, and he's got money to spend and all of that, and then not find a way to get a deal done. And you could tell me, I'm not giving anybody a 10 or 11 or 12-year deal. Then sell the team.
Yeah.
And I believe the Ricketts are giving Jed the ability, here's a pot of money. We're not telling you how to spend it. You spend it. That's your job. And I think Jed's trying to do what he thinks is right. I don't want to get locked up on one of these long deals. I don't think it's right. I don't think we're ready. Okay, then you better have a plan to be competitive. You cannot continue to ask people to pay for the most expensive experience in baseball. That's number one when you factor in parking and food and everything else. Mm-hmm. I think they're third in tickets, third or fourth. Just the ticket cost. Please spend all that money, and we're running Frank Schwindel and whoever else out there.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
Can't do it. Can't have it both ways.
I would agree with you in that regard. I don't know why Jed is hesitant to at least dip his toe in the water for a Correa or for a Swanson. Now, again, it's still, you know, you're still in the middle of free agency, so we'll see what happens. But if this is all you're going to do, then that's one step, but you take further steps, especially when the owner's giving you the green light. You're not the White Sox, in which you just feel like your core is just good enough and think that you're going to win the World Series with that.
Right, and I don't think they think they're going to win a World Series next year. I think they feel like they can be competitive in that division.
Well, that's not good enough. That's what I'm talking about as a Sox fan. That's not good enough. When the door is open for the next five years,
you're in a different place than the guys on the north side.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
your team. I don't know what your team's doing.
Just sticking with the core, you know, and not even trying to be, not trying to even look into making deals or not executing deals to make the team better. What's your deal? You sent Abreu away. I had no problem with that. I love Abreu, but I understand why you did it. Vaughn's batting the lineup every day, so he's going to be at first base. And then what? What else you got?
I mean, how are you not the ones that get Sean Murphy? Why does he end up in Atlanta?
I agree with that.
And you were in on those discussions. It's not as though you didn't want him.
Yeah, let me just tell you. I just want the general manager to generally manage the team. You're always going to have input, Cap. There's always going to be people in the room. I understand general manager is a lonely place in any sport, correct? General manager can be a lonely place. However, and there's always going to be people in the room to give you a little influence or give you a little advice, what I have no problem with. But ultimately, the general manager has to generally manage the team and make decisions. Right?
He does, but at some point,
well,
you have to go outside your comfort zone.
Well, you say he does, but does he really?
Well, if his owner won't give him any money, then there's nothing he can do.
A little lower than the owner.
Kenny?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, they have to be on the same page. They have to be.
Well, I get it, but I mean, there's a general manager in place to make these moves. Let the guy generally manage the team.
Now, I will tell you, agreed, but you can only spend what you're allowed to spend. We could sit here and go, Rick Hahn, Jed Hoyer, what are you doing? They have to be given the wherewithal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jed has the money to spend. I don't think he has the appetite at this point in his rebuild to spend it. And Carlos Baerga, you remember him?
Oh, yeah. The old Cleveland Indian.
So he's active on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Baerga, verified account.
Mm-hmm.
Gold or blue, I don't know.
Yes.
We'll get to that later. Carlos Baerga had tweeted 2 weeks ago. Justin Verlander is going to the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the money.
Yeah.
He has posted today, Carlos Baerga says he believes, and he put him in his uniform, he believes Carlos Correa will sign with the Twins.
Hmm.
How about that?
Okay.
Now he's a newsbreaker now.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Carlos Baerga.
In Spanish, but he's a newsbreaker.
All right. Coming up, we'll go around the NFL, some news and notes for you that you need to know regarding football. And Albert Breer will be with us at every Tuesday at 8:35. He's going to be with us to talk to us about the Bears and the National Football League. All part of the mix on Cap'n Jay Hood.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It is time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you, coming up at 8:50, we have a chance for you to win tickets. You want to go see college basketball? The Intersport Legends of Basketball Showcase is going to be at the United Center. We'll give away tickets coming up at 8:50 right here on ESPN 1000. We go around the National Football League. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, I'm going to start with the teams that are going to be coming to see the Bears the next couple of weeks. The Bears will play the Eagles this weekend. Then after that, you get a little reprieve with the Buffalo Bills. Currently, Bills versus Eagles is the favorite for the Super Bowl matchup at virtually every sports book that you look at. 6-1, best odds you can find. So my question, between the Eagles and the Bills, which team is better right now and which team has the higher upside for the rest of the season?
Eagles or Bills?
Or Bills.
Boy, I'd have to. I've been so big on Buffalo, but then they lost Von Miller for the year. Their quarterback's got an elbow thing that's been ongoing for him. Right now, I'd have to say the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm rooting for the Bills to win it.
We both have a ticket.
Yes.
For the Super Bowl.
Right now, today, I think the Eagles are healthier and playing better.
So with the Bills, you'd have to say no.
Right now, I'd have to say no, but that's who I'm rooting for.
Okay. I'm going to say that it's going to be the Eagles. That's how I feel, Shay. I think that the Eagles have an upside. And again, I like what Buffalo's doing. This has nothing to do with the Bills and their win against the Jets because it was 20-12, and people always like, the Bills aren't the set. No, the Bills are going to be a strong team, too. I'm just going to fly with the Eagles. I know you're listening, Philly Sid. Things are working out well for this Eagles team. They look dominant on all areas. So I'm going to go Philly in that spot.
Right now.
Shay?
All right. I also want to ask about Kyler Murray, who got injured last night, which changes things significantly for the Arizona Cardinals and their future. The injury is likely to be an ACL tear if that gets confirmed today with imaging. That means Kyler Murray is going to miss at least half of next season. Mm. What does that do for the Cardinals going forward?
Well, that is a new head coach for sure. And they will struggle unless they're going to draft a quarterback. Their future is not on that roster. It's not Colt McCoy, and obviously Murray hurt. They're going to have to kind of redo things.
But you've committed to, what did they sign him for? $250 million? Thereabouts? $230?
Yeah. But you got to draft one, Cap.
You're not taking a quarterback in the first round. No way.
Didn't say first round. So you got to draft one.
5 years, $230 million.
Yep. Got to draft one.
Yeah, maybe way down at the back end, but I would think they'll go get somebody in the offseason if they think it's an upgrade over Colt McCoy,
mm-hmm.
like a Jacoby Brissett type.
Got to do what all Arizonans do. You go to a retirement home like Tom Brady. That will be Tom's last spot.
Tom's going to finish in San Francisco next year. You watch.
Okay. But to answer your question, though, Shay, directly, I think that it starts with the coach and the coaching staff. That has to change. The philosophy must change because the offense does not work, whether Kyler's there or not. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think the coach has to change, certainly. It's been a long experiment. It just hasn't been successful.
How long has he been there?
4 or 5 years?
That's enough. That's a college coach.
Yeah. And he failed there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He failed
up.
That's
what I never got. He had a losing record at Texas Tech with Patrick effing Mahomes.
Well, yeah, he failed up in the job.
Named, Black, correct me if I'm wrong, was he not named the USC offensive coordinator, and 4 or 5 weeks later, he quit that job to become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, didn't he make it have a stop with the Packers, too, or no?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think he took the U...
You're right. He was going to USC, and then he switched.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not Black, but that guy's correct.
No, he went straight from the NFL, from college to the NFL.
No, he got hired at USC as the OC was there 4 weeks.
What I'm saying is he went from college to the NFL. He had never had experience as a head coach, a winning head coach in college, losing record as a head coach, went straight to head coach in the NFL. No stop as coordinator. That's rare.
Just because he's sexy.
And because they liked that style and they were drafted Kyler Murray. Because they had the year before taken Josh Rosen and moved off him in 1 year.
Some of these NFL
and
teams.
Fired Brother Wilkes.
Yes. And Brother Wilkes has turned around in Carolina.
That was going to be my next question. So the reporting early was that Brother Wilkes has no chance to be the head coach of Carolina going forward. Don't they have to at least look at him and give him like an honest appraisal? What he's done there is miraculous.
That was as flat a team as you'll find, right, under Matt Rhule. Now Wilkes has turned things around. Yes, he should get a look, but that doesn't work all that much for the NFL very much in that scenario. Not for guys like Steve Wilkes. Steve Wilkes will be there. Whatever happens, I'm sure he'll get an interview, Cap. I'm not sure if he'll keep the job. He should.
He should certainly be talked to and seriously considered.
NFL is very funny that way.
It is?
So I think he should. The way he was fired in one season in Arizona is Arizona, right?
Did he get only 1 year? Is that all he got?
It was the 1 year. Yeah, I know he was 1 year and out as a head coach. I believe it was with Arizona. That wasn't fair.
Steve Wilkes, as a head coach, he had 2 years. He got fired midway through year two.
Of what team?
You're correct. Only one season in Arizona and then half a year in Carolina. You're right. 2018, 3-13, get out.
Steve Wilkes was in the Arizona situation where they took Josh Rosen and then they just bombed them both out because they had the number one pick again. They got Kingsbury and Kyler Murray.
Correct.
How about that? See what I mean? Don't last very long.
Now, a guy like Sean McDermott, who I like a lot as a coach, he went 9-7 his first year, regressed to 6-10.
But
there was a little grumbling.
Yeah.
And that was the year the Bears beat them just like dogs in Buffalo, 41-9. And then he's gone 10-6, 13-3, 11-6, 10-3. He's rolling.
Yeah, stay the course.
Rolling.
Stay the course.
Yep.
Wilkes should have an opportunity. Yes. Based on this turnaround from the Matt Rhule regime. Shay.
A little more controversy, as Carmen Yurko would say, with the eye in the sky last night. Hoodie Devontae Parker came down after a catch or a drop, I'm not sure which. But he got up, and I remember looking. He was dizzy. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't even collect his feet underneath him. And it took a fellow player notifying the coaching staff, get this guy off the field. The eye in the sky did not do the job and get him out of the game. The first quarter ended, and then after the start of the second quarter, they took him out of the game. What is going on with the concussion protocols in the NFL? Because this happened with Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett was hurt clearly after the Roquan Smith sack, came back out, and then got pulled to get tested again, put in concussion protocol.
I just don't understand, when we have so much technology, how we can get this so wrong. You know, there was, like, 10, 15 years ago, we didn't have any of this. There was no eye in the sky. If a guy got his bell rung, there was no blue tent.
They were smelling salts to get back in there.
Just, I don't understand, Cap, how we can be so progressive by being able to have technology where you can look and see. Is it tough to watch all 22? No. I mean, if you have multiple people up there, that eye in the sky didn't see that. Now, if there's no eye in the sky, that guy's lined up to play again, and he's clearly concussed. I saw that video. I'll send it to you. I saw it on Twitter in real time, and I was like, what is going on here? Protect the player. He had no clue where he was. Yeah, he's wobbling out there.
Yeah, I don't know if eye in the sky can tell from that distance, but you've got an independent doctor on each sideline. That's the one that's more concerning.
If Hoodie and I can tell from our couch, the eye in the sky should be able to tell in the building. I mean, Cap, if you look at the video, he's either concussed or had 7 tequila shots.
I don't disagree, but yeah, you should be able to figure it out with a doctor on the sideline more than a guy who's 400 yards away. You got a guy looking at him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to err on the side of caution here, I would think.
Thank God a player stepped up and said, hey, there's something wrong with him.
Correct.
Help him. Just like
that was Devontae Parker.
Yeah, just that's tough.
Yeah.
All right, that's a look around the National Football League. Tommy Waddle reminds us that Kingsbury has a 5-year extension that runs through 2027 with Arizona.
Correct. There's a lot of money. So we could think they're going to buy him out. These guys don't do that all the time. They just don't.
There's no answer there offensively for that Arizona team, whether it is Murray or not. There's no identity there offensively. It's not good enough. Got to draft one. Got to get in free agency. Get yourself a quarterback as well. Got to make changes there. Kyler Murray is not the guy. Can I officially say that? Just not the guy.
He's not well liked in the room. We keep hearing
production wise. Don't care about personality.
When you got to give a guy a $230 million contract and want to put a clause in, you remember this. You have to study X number of hours a week. Really? Mm-hmm. I have to make sure that I tell Hoodie to get to work on time?
Yeah, that's sad.
We got a problem.
Albert Breer on the NFL next on Cap and Jay Hood.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Every Tuesday at 8:35, we get a chance to go to Monday Morning Quarterback. We get a chance to go to SI.com, and we talk to our friend Albert Breer. He's with us here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning, Eddie. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thanks for checking in with us. We were watching the Monday night game. We were just talking about the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray with the ACL. Boy, that's tough. So where does Arizona go from here, knowing that he won't be available early next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we've got some big box decisions to make here. And, I think it sort of goes back to last year. And you guys can remember coming out of that playoff loss, and it was a bad playoff loss to the Rams. There were questions about the future of Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim. And, I there were 2-3 days there where some meetings got abruptly canceled, and there were a lot of people in that building that were worried about their job security. And then a month later, the organization gave both guys 5-year extensions. And so, now the question isn't, should those guys be evaluated? I think they've definitely put themselves in that position where, their jobs are probably on the line. The question is whether or not, ownership there is willing to pay the freight to get rid of them. And that means eating contracts. It also means swallowing some pride, too, in knowing that you just did those deals for them. And now, to get rid of them, you're going to have to eat 5 years of salary for each guy. So, yeah, I certainly think, there are major questions asked there. And by doing that, those extensions last year, they really made those decisions more complicated.
So, Albert, as you look at the offseason that is around the corner, we've been having this discussion. I was emceeing the Long Snapper of the Year Award on Saturday night, the Patrick Manley Award. It was really cool. The kid from Penn State won it over a kid from Oklahoma State and a kid from Central Florida. There's a guy there who I'm talking to, and he said, yeah, he has scouted in the league for a long time, and said to me, look, I know you're a Bear diehard, and you want your team to get turned around. He said, it is not an overnight fix there. You have the second worst roster in the NFL behind Houston. And he believes, yeah, you can improve next year. 24, you should be better. But he said, I don't think you can really look at having any kind of sustained success until starting in 25. Is that correct? Is that rational? Is that dumb?
No, I mean, I don't think you have to wait that long. I mean, I don't know. Some guys have come in the last few years and sort of broken the clock in the way that the teams have done it. You think of what Sean McVay did with the Rams, and he's probably a unicorn, so maybe it's not fair to look at him that way, but to compare him to that. But, you know, Sean had success right away, got the Rams in the playoffs right away. They won the Super Bowl in his second year, and they wind up winning it, I believe it was his fifth year, right?
Yes.
So, you know, you have that, and, there are examples of teams doing it with a more deliberate build. Like the Niners would have been the more deliberate build, but they were in the Super Bowl in year three. You know, so I think when you're looking at like sort of logistical issues that that Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles were facing when they got to Chicago, I think it makes sense to do it the way they're doing it and do it the more deliberate way, which means you're not going to be in the playoffs in year one. But even if you look at the teams that have done it in a more deliberate fashion, like Buffalo's another one. Buffalo did make the playoffs in year one. I think you're still looking at it where it's like, okay, like you want to be competitive and contending for a playoff spot in year three. That's sort of where Buffalo was. Like Buffalo almost made the playoffs by accident their first year. When you look at where they were in year three, I was like, okay, like that's when they were really starting to ascend and they were in the playoffs that year. Atlanta, I think, is going to be one where you're going to look at it. And I think they're sort of similar to the way the Bears are building. This is sort of their year where they clear the decks and clean out their cap and all that different stuff. People are going to expect Atlanta to be competing for a playoff spot next year because that's going to be Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot's third year. And so I would say you at least want to be in like the mix for a playoff spot if you're building the way Poles and Eberflus are in 2024. I'm not saying you're going to win a championship that year, but you want to see a clear indication that the plan is going in the right direction and you're winning a bunch of games.
The Philadelphia Eagles will take on the Bears coming up on Sunday. Could you tell us, how the Philadelphia Eagles are in this position? What stands out most about their organization to you?
Yeah, I think it's the way Howie Rosen's built those teams through the line of scrimmage, and I think one of the most amazing things, if you look at it, like they've got good, promising young defensive and offensive linemen, right? Like they do have that. But then they've got like this core group of guys who've been there forever. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox on defense, and then Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce on offense. Those four guys each have 10 or more years of experience in the NFL. And so, like, they've really built their foundations through the lines of scrimmage. There's a program on each line of scrimmage. And if you're strong in those areas, like, their philosophy is you're going to be competitive in every single game, and I think that's sort of where, the story of the 17 champions started. Like, 5 years ago, they win the championship. Well, why are they able to win it with a backup quarterback? Because they were so strong on the lines of scrimmage and they had such a defined identity. And that's sort of what this team is, too. And we should be talking about all the other guys because they've done a good job building around the lines of scrimmage, too, with, on offense, A.J. Brown and Miles Sanders and Devontae Smith and obviously Jalen Hurts and the tight ends. And on defense with guys like, Darius Slay. On the back end, they deal for Gardner Johnson in the offseason. But really, like what sticks out to me is how that foundation of building through the lines of scrimmage is still there. It was a foundation of the 17 team, and it's the foundation of the 12-1 team you're looking at now, too.
Albert, let's talk about Tom Brady. He was not good the other day. His team is not good. I know they're still hanging in there in their division. It's a lousy division. Do you see a scenario where he's in San Francisco next year, winds it all up in front of his parents, he's now divorced, and finishes there? Or do you think he walks away? And can you win with Brock Purdy? And I mean win big, because that team is built to win now.
Yeah, I think there are several different things that may be on the table for Brady after this year. That's one. Could he wind up in Vegas? I think that that's another. And the Raiders are going to have to make a decision in February on Derek Carr. Because, there's about $40 million that vests in his contract a few days after the Super Bowl. So we'll know relatively soon on what the Raiders are going to do. I think that there are different options on the table for Brady in 2023. Obviously retirement being one of them. And I'm not sure he's really made a decision there. Like, I don't think he knows what he's going to do. But, you know, San Francisco certainly put something in front of him on Sunday that I'm sure, you know, he's looking across across the other sideline and saying, well, that looks like a pretty good situation over there. And, I mean, I think it's going to be really difficult for the Niners to win, you know, three, four games in a row in the playoffs with a rookie quarterback in there. But if there's a team that can do it, it's them. And I think if there's a team that can do it, it's going to have to be a team that's coming out of the NFC. Because, you know, if you're in the AFC, here's the thing. You may have to be – if you have a quarterback like that in the AFC, you'd have to go through, like, you know, potentially, like, say, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes consecutively, and then you play in the Super Bowl, you know? In the NFC – I think the Niners can beat anybody. And then you get into a one-off situation in the Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan as your coach and that loaded roster. And so I think the Niners have a shot at it, but it's not likely.
What's in your phone, Albert, something that you haven't told anyone else? Got any Steve Wilks news? Got any protocol with concussion news? That failed yesterday? What do you have in your phone?
Yeah, you know, I'm at this league meeting in Dallas now, and, you know, it's interesting because I think now it's like every time we come to one of these, until he sells the team, it's going to be about Dan Snyder and the Commanders. Hmm. So, you know, I think they're going to have a privileged session tomorrow, which is just owners and their kin, right? Like, so it's like owners and sons, owners and daughters in that room. And that's, you know, what they normally do at the end of each of these owners meetings. And that's sort of been the Snyder session over the last year or so, where they go through what's happening in Washington. And I think now that it's at the point where they don't have to, talk about ways to get him to sell the team, you know, now it becomes about where the team's going and how much they're going to get for it. And I can tell you, like, one, the number that's kind of come up consistently is $7 billion, which, it's wild to think how quickly the values of these franchises have escalated. But that team has seen a lot, like, I think American, the Americans and the Saudis saw it, the English Premier League teams 25 years ago, mm-hmm. where they were buying those teams because they saw them as distressed assets and underutilized and businesses that were underutilized. And so I think the bidding could get pretty wild for the Commanders, and I think that's going to be something that you're going to be hearing about over the next couple of days.
Albert, have a great day, man. We appreciate you greatly.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you. There he is, Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com.
$7 billion with a B.
Right. I thought he was also going to reference where the Bears would be if they get the stadium. I'm hearing they'd be north of that.
Mm.
Crazy.
Mm, that'd be
crazy
something.
Numbers.
We got tickets to give away for college basketball at the United Center. We'll tell you how you get those next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Can we not call them bums? They earned their way to that level. They're not bums. They just did a bad job. I don't use the word hate. Ugh, little shot.
Made up of these three words.
F John Hamm, he's on the list.
I just called.
I effing hate
to say I love you.
Sounds like a complete jackass.
I just called.
They bought your sorry ass jersey.
How much I care.
F and John Hamm sitting there with a cardinal hat on.
I just called to say
F John Hamm, he's on the list.
I love
Nick Foles
you.
Sucks. Let's just be fair and honest.
And I mean
he sucks.
From the bottom.
Ugh, of a little shot. You played like bitches.
Ah, love all around. From us to you, happy holidays. Captain J Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
You guys.
You guys?
Yeah.
Or you people?
Yeah.
Which people?
You and Snorling.
Me? I haven't produced a show since 2000. What are you talking about, pal?
Yeah, you're the puppet master pulling the strings right back there. I know your deal.
You think I would do that?
Yes, 100%.
To you?
Yes.
My friend, do you think I would do that?
100%.
Shay Norling.
With love, but absolutely.
That was all me, baby. That was a Snorling special.
You see how that happens? That's why a lot of us are in jail, because of accusations and no proof.
Wow. This guy, man.
I'm just saying. I mean, seriously. You accused me. You pointed your finger. The long arm of the law. You pointed it at me, and guess what? Innocent.
I don't think so.
What did the man just say?
I don't care what he said.
You don't believe? You think Shea's a liar?
He could have you on camera. He would defend you. That's your guy.
Shea, is that true?
That I would defend you?
Yes.
Of course.
All right. We are giving away tickets. Had nothing to do with it. It's pretty good, though.
Okay.
Intersport Legends of Basketball Showcase at the United Center. You want to go? Caller 5. Regular line this time, Randy. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. If you want to go, the Legends Showcase, Northern Iowa against Towson. Also, it's Tulane against George Mason. Dayton against Wyoming. NC State against Vandy. Caller 5, you want to go? 312-332-ESPN. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap and J-Hood Morning, 7 to 10.
Can I tell you a couple baseball nuggets?
Of course. I was going to ask you for them later. Go ahead.
Just, I want to get one off my chest.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
What are you hearing?
I want to know how both teams have openly said, yeah, we got to get a catcher.
Yeah.
Christian Vasquez is on the list.
Yeah.
He goes to Minnesota?
Yes.
He got $10 million a year for 3 years. Doesn't sound to me, in baseball terms, like he got overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Minnesota? Over the Cubs, over the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll trade for Sean Murphy. I hear he's a really good player with the Oakland A's.
Yep.
He's in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
William Contreras is in Milwaukee as part of a three-team deal. And I'll argue with you, with what they gave up, Milwaukee might have made the best trade of the three.
Yeah. Willie Contreras is a good player.
So the White Sox can't spend any money. We have to make good trades. They can't get Sean Murphy. I mean, what is going on in this town? And I know there's still Dansby Swanson out there. He's on his honeymoon. And I know there's Carlos Correa out there. And I have argued this with friends. I've argued this with my dear brother. Can't give a 12-year deal. Guess what? You are the Chicago freaking Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
You got money left over by their admission, not mine, from last year that you didn't spend.
Mm-hmm.
You got all the money to spend basically this year. Carlos Correa would look magnificent at Wrigley.
Sure.
We don't want to get in one of those long deals. Okay. Then I hope the hell you know what you're doing up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people ticked. There are people that are giving up tickets. I saw something online yesterday, a letter a guy wrote. I'll always cheer for your team. He wrote it to the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
I am canceling my season tickets.
Okay. Hopefully he won't miss something special just because of one off season. Because, God forbid, you want to try to get back on that list. Good luck. That's like the old Bozo Circus trying to get back in the mix. Right?
Agree.
I mean, you could be pissed at this offseason, but giving up your season tickets, a little harsh, a little rash. You make it seem like we're back to the old days of the Wrigley Company owning the Cubs. Just because they might have a average offseason doesn't make them a bad baseball team or bad baseball operation.
You cannot, I don't mean you.
Yeah.
I'm talking general.
Yeah.
You cannot write letters to your fan base. We're going to be active in free agency, and all I've got is a number 4 starter. He's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I just signed Jacob DeGrom and Jameson Taillon.
Right.
And a guy who had worse offensive numbers than Jason Hayward. Now, he won the 2019 MVP, and he hurt his shoulder and all that, and now he says he's healthy. Okay, great. The bottom line is his numbers were worse than Jason Hayward.
I know.
There's no guarantee Cody Bellinger's coming back to that form.
I'll talk to you about this more in 2 minutes because I want to talk to you a little bit about commitment to winning based on what you're talking about, okay? We'll talk about that in 2 minutes. Congratulations to Jeff Kasmer of Lyle. He wins the tickets to see college basketball at the United Center. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7:00.